Oh, just set the recorder going. If it had been a few seconds earlier, you'd have heard Sean saying, "Hello, it's me." Which is the thing that Sean says every single time he calls someone up who he knows. If it's his mum and dad, if it's his wife, he'll always say, "Hello, it's me." Which is a bit of a non-statement, really. Because as soon as you say hello, that person will know who you are. And also, nowadays, with mobile phone technology, you can see who the person is before they call. I've heard it before where he's been on speakerphone. The first person's gone, "Hello, Sean, you all right?" And he goes, "Hello, it's me." He's like, "Well, yeah, I know, I've just said hello, Sean." He does it to me, "Hello, it's me." I don't know why he does it all the time, he does it. I am now in a toilet, another toilet. We're getting about. Hey, I treat you, don't I? Hey, I take you to places. You tune into these dollops and I really take you to places. We're in a toilet in Cecil Sharp House in London, where we are performing our second Christmas gig. And I told a story yesterday that reminded me of another story. And I thought I'd quickly tell you that and then quickly do a sound check. And then we got to get on stage. So, I mean, it was a story about something that happened at our agent's wedding. Our agent and our friend Phil was getting married. He asked us to perform at his wedding. And he asked us to perform a specific song. And it was this, like, sort of barbershop quartet type thing. And it was sort of along the lines of, "Let me call you, sweetheart, I'm in love with you." It's the kind of song that's very difficult not to sing in a posh, sort of stereotypical barbershop quartet accent. Anyway, so we sang this song. For some reason, Sean and Michael could just not get their heads around it at all and just kept doing the wrong notes and then saying the wrong words. It was absolutely ridiculous. The song is four lines, essentially. That's all it is, four lines. But for some reason, they would get it wrong every single time, and it was getting more and more frustrating. You know, we knew the song was only four lines long, so we didn't really give it much thought until the night before it was time to do it. And we thought, oh, we better learn this song quickly, you know, put some harmonies on top of it, it'll be absolutely fine. But they just kept getting it wrong every single time. And it got to the day of the wedding, and we were driving down, I had about an hour or two drive in the van, and we were practicing this song non-stop in the van, and one of them would always make a mistake. But eventually, after about an hour or so, they got it right. And we thought, brilliant, we've got it, let's do it again, make sure we've got it. And they would get it wrong. And we'd just keep going on like that for the journey. But as the journey came to an end, we eventually managed to get it right three times in a row. Perfect. We got in the church. It was only us there. Nobody else had arrived at this point. And we sang it in the church. Spot on. Absolutely perfect. Half an hour before the wedding, we went outside just to have another practice. Sean made a mistake. So Sean's getting really stressed. He shuts himself in the van and, like, tries to learn it. And I just can't understand. Can't understand what the difficulty was. Bearing in mind we've learned songs with masses of verses in them. And this is a four-line song, and each time there was a mistake or someone got a note wrong or something like that. The time of the wedding came, and the three of us were really nervous about this. Because we thought, we're going to mess it up, aren't we? You know, this is while they're walking down the aisle. And we've got to sing this song, and we're going to completely balls it up. Our hearts are pounding so fast. And we start singing this song as they walk down the aisle. And, well, we sort of get it right, but it's not Michael or Sean or whatever just sort of dropped out at one point and then came back in. But it, for all intents and purposes, it was fine. And actually, we needn't worry. As long as we didn't completely balls it up, it was going to be absolutely fine anyway. Because no one was focusing on us. Obviously, everybody was more interested in the fact that the bride was walking down the aisle. But the sense of relief was so immense once we finished this song that we managed to do it. And I think that it sort of explains why what happened next happened. Because we were just so giddy with the relief. The vicar doing the ceremony introduces herself and says, "Thank you very much for coming today. I am the Reverend Gay Pie." And we couldn't help ourselves. I think just because we were so relieved by getting this song right, and we thought, that's it, we're off the hook now, we can enjoy the thing. And we were just so relieved, that emotion, that pent-up emotion just got the better of us. And the three of us started laughing, and I could tell that the other two were laughing next to me. I could feel them rocking, and I could hear, like, the spluttering sound as they tried not to laugh. And, of course, that makes it worse when you're trying not to laugh and there's two other people trying not to laugh next to you. It makes it even worse. So she says, "I am the Reverend Gay Pie." And this name, it just makes us laugh hysterically. That was the first bit. We managed to calm ourselves down from that. But now and again, we just kept chuckling. But we managed to calm ourselves down from that. And the wedding continued. But it wasn't until the bit where she said, "Now we've got some readings that have been chosen by the couple. And the first reading is a passage from the Lord of the Rings." And I'm still giddy with relief and that weird feeling of having laughed before. Whisper to Michael,
My precious. She's mine, precious.
In his ear. Well, I mean, that sets Michael off. And he's not ready for it. And he suddenly, I just hear this sound of no, no, as he tries not to laugh. And that sound makes me completely go. So I can, which kind of sounds a bit like Schmeagol, the character in The Lord of the Rings. Sean is trying not to laugh. Michael's trying not to laugh. Other people in the thing are obviously wondering what the hell's going on. And a few people are laughing at us. A few people are kind of scowling slightly. We just continue rocking backwards and forwards, trying not to laugh, occasionally making weird noises, while she reads out this passage where it's just describing some kind of elven landscape or something, and two lovers or something like that walking hand in hand. It's nothing to do with Schmeagol in the cave. It's going on about my precious. But we're trying not to laugh, and the laughter just gets so bad that at one point I look to my left and I see that there's a door, I think to the vestry or something like that, and I wonder if it's locked, I wonder if I can go in there, and I was seriously contemplating just making a dash for it and just shutting myself in there because I just couldn't control the laughter anymore. But fortunately I managed to get it under control and thought about my mum dying or something like that. It's just weird when something like that happens, eruptions of laughter. Thank you to Sadie, who commented on yesterday's blog, to the coincidence, the massive coincidence, that she was listening to the dollop while on a double-decker bus. She was on a double-decker bus at the top, listening to my story. So hello to anybody who is listening to this dollop while in a church during a wedding ceremony. Special hello to you. I think it's probably unlikely, and I think you might want to consider your friendship or family connection to this person and how seriously you're taking it. I mean, I know the dollops are addictive, but seriously, not during a family member's wedding, for goodness sake. Anyway, there we go, dollop 337 in the bag. I'll be back tomorrow with dollop 338.